In October of that same year, I accepted Christ into my life. And he did a great work in reconciling me to him. I spend now the past 7 years in a place that I deeply love. No way I could have done that myself. No way. Has to be God. Has to be. I think about, you know, walking into real life for the first time in 2012. I was just looking for a church. And I walk in, and I think to everyone's belief, I'm not related to anybody in this church. Yet this is where I found home. It's a God thing. It doesn't happen everywhere. So there's some of you in this room who have maybe been walking the walk and talking the talk, but you have yet to experience that change. And perhaps that's why you're here today. It's God calling you to walk away from the world, to walk away from your pride and your anger and your selfishness. As he says, that life leads to death. I lead to life, so come towards me. The other possibility for those of you in here is that you have indeed been born again. But your love for God has simply grown cool and weak. That you tasted what it means to have a heart for God, and you can recall how once you felt that you know that you've known him, and it was better than anything this world could offer. But this morning, that flame is smoldering. And so we feel dead. We feel cold. And we find ourselves saying, God, where are you? I'm at a point in my life, I'm a year away from 30. And everyone's like, oh no, here comes the midlife crisis talk, right? not funny. I've come to a point in my life where I'm in a transition stage. I'm getting towards the end of a chapter, and in this past year, with the new year, I stepped back and desperately sought God in prayer because I needed him. Because I had been functioning and working out of this mechanic, this kind of mechanisms that I know how to walk the walk. I know how to do things. I know how to run a meeting. I know how to share my faith with somebody. I know how to read the Bible. But all of it was, or not all of it, I'll say in part of it, there's this thing in me that there was this unrest, and I didn't know what it was. And so I said, God, show me. Show me what it is. And as I sought God, he began to reveal all these worldly desires of my heart to be known, to have influence in people's lives. He showed me how arrogant I've been. Even as I sometimes operate from the shadows, because I'm back here working because I wanted to be about everybody else, but even in that, very arrogant in the way I do things. I looked at this area and of the world that I live in, and I found myself saying, God, why do you have me here? I'm working with teens, and if you get on their social media, man, it will make you cry. And I think, what, like, are you not listening on Wednesday? What I'm doing, is it done in vain? God, are you real? And slowly he's showing me, and he's showing me this one truth is that as human beings, when left on our own, we will always choose the world. 100% of the time. Even as a believer, I stand here and say, man, the world is so enticing that I choose to be on this side. That's my flesh. That's my sin. But when John writes, he says, remember that choosing the world leads to death. And so then the questions come up. All right, Rico. Should I not go after that job promotion? Should I not be concerned with buying a house with a yard and having a dog? Should I not have friends with anybody, be friends with anybody? Should I not pray for the health of my children? Should I not seek security? Should I be worried about my social status? I'm going to talk in a very extreme way, because, and that's a scary thing, because here in 2019, to talk in an extreme way in America is it's a death sentence. But the answer to all those questions is no, you should not. You should not pursue those things if you're not desiring God in those things. So if you're saying, man, I'm going to get into a position at work just for the sake of being called sir or boss, man, your motives are way out. Instead of saying, man, I'm going to get in a position of influence so that I can share the gospel with my employees. Or, you know, so I'm able to take a month off of work and go to a missions trip. Because I've worked my butt off for that. A lot of people ask me, Rico, when are we going to hear the good news that you're going to get married? I don't know. Stop asking me. I don't know the answer to that question. And it's not because there's a lack of me trying or fishing or whatever analogy y'all have told me time and time again. But is it part of my heart of pursuing God means I cannot just marry any woman. Because my desire for my marriage is I would glorify God. And so if this woman does not know Christ, she is not even on the list. She cannot be considered. And so now the big pool that you guys are talking about gets a lot smaller. But I have to see that as a joy and not as a burden. Because I've seen what a relationship looks like apart from God that lives in the world. And it's brokenness. It's death. Complete and utter death. And I'll tell you, that's crippled me. It's crippled me outside of the truth. And I'm going to share this story real quick. I was talking with a brother the other day, and we were talking about girl issues, of course, or my girl issues. And I told him, brother, I'm so fearful. Not necessarily of pursuing a godly woman, but I'm fearful that the moment I say I do, I'm going to fail. Because that has been the pattern of the men in my life and in my family. And so I want to spare the heart of whatever girl that is that's supposed to come my way. And everyone's thinking, oh man, this is, you know, pity party. But that's the reality that I'm in, but it's because I've been clutching onto the world. And so the brother kind of pins me back against the wall, and he says, we're going to break this chain right now. And he looks me in my eyes, and he says, who does God say you are? And I had no idea where he was going with this, because God says I'm a lot of things. I'm a child of God. I am adopted. I am redeemed. I'm loved. And so I kind of looked at him like a deer in headlights, and he says, you are his bride. And then he asked me, the second question says, so who does that make Jesus? And he said, the bridegroom. And all of a sudden, and everyone's still like so scratching their heads at where I'm going with this. But there was this weight of the world that was lifted off of me, because it didn't matter how much failure I've seen and that I've experienced in my life. God redeemed me from that. He's been the perfect husband. He's been the perfect example of what I'm to look like in my marriage. Not my dad. Not my uncles. Him. If my heart is to live this out, what John is saying here, it's still up there. I hope you guys are reading it like 10 times so you put it in memory. He's saying, do not choose the world, because the world will lead you to death. But choose me, because I will bring you life. In the series I had with youth, I told them, I don't care if your parents lie. I don't care if your parents don't choose to serve the least of these. I don't care if your parents are selfish. I don't care if your parents are still holding on to grudges from 10 years ago. They're not your example. Christ is. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. Choose Him. He will lead you to life. And that's a radical thing to say. And that should be an uncomfortable thing for us to hear. Because can our kids look to us and say, that's who I need to resemble? And are they saying that because your life imitates that of Jesus? If it doesn't, you're on this side of the spectrum. You're so filled with the world, and everyone's like, man, Rigo, this kid doesn't know what he's saying. Like, I'm about to walk out on him right now. Why do we want our children to imitate us if our love for the world is so much greater than our love for God? If we really love our kids, why do we want that? And so the charge for us as parents in the faith, as adults in the faith, is to be that example. To choose Christ so that when people look at us, they don't see a know-it-all millennial standing before you, but they see Christ. They see someone so in love with their Creator that it points them to their Creator. And so we act, we move. There's a scene, I love this scene, in The Hunchback of Notre Dame, where at the end of it, the guy who's in love with Esmeralda, if you haven't watched it, go watch this movie. He stands under this little canopy with like flowers and stuff, and he just shouts, "I love Esmeralda!" And makes this huge proclamation of his love. That I look at my walk with Jesus and I think, I love Jesus. Yet we'll post all day about the Dallas Cowboys. We'll post all day about our new pair of boots that we brought. We'll post all day about how hardworking we are. Or how we're enjoying our vacation because we deserved it. I'm not saying that those are bad things. They're not. They're not bad things. But I'm saying the value that we put in them because of our sin turns them bad. There's a story where in the Bible where this rich young ruler, I'm going to end with this, where a rich young ruler goes up to Jesus and say, and ask him, "Lord, how can I get into heaven?" And Jesus responds, "You need to sell all of your possessions and give it to the poor and follow me." And the rich young ruler says, "Lord, but I kept all of your commands. I have not committed adultery. I have not murdered. I have not lusted." Just this list. Just like he was a beast of a guy. And Jesus responds again, "You need to go and sell all of your possessions, give it to the poor, and come to follow me." And the rich young ruler, spoiler alert if you haven't read it yet, he walked away sad. My hope today is that if you find yourself here this morning, saying that I have never experienced the love of God in this very deep way that you've been talking about, is that God is offering it to you. But you need to kill your love for the world and love God. So as the band is playing, if that is you, there's going to be some men up here in the front, some people who want to share that joy with you. I want to implore you. I want to plead with you that you would make that decision today and that you would not walk through those doors sad. Because you don't need to. So that's one call. The second call is, if you feel like your love for God has grown cold and you need to be revived from that, also come up for prayer. Share that. Own that truth that you are sick and you are in desperate need of God. No matter how long you've been walking with him. And so those are the two calls. If I know anything about life, it is that it is really hard to be vulnerable. And some of you will sit here and say, yeah, there's a ton I need to pray about, but it will not move out of pride or out of shame or out of anger. And I want you to be freed from that, because that is far from the reality of what of how God wants you to live. God cares about you. God loves you. And to say you are not in need of prayer is to say that you love the world so much that you don't need God. And that's not the reality for any of us in this room. And so if you need prayer, come up this morning. There'll be some people up here. But let me pray, and then the band can lead us in one more song. Father God, thank you for this morning. Father, I pray that you would help us die to our desires and our sinful flesh. I pray that you would renew in us the love that you have for us and our love that we have for you. I pray that we would be people who act out of that love, and not just out of tradition or out of religious culture, Lord, but it'd be a real thing, Lord, that we would not pursue anything if it does not mean that we are pursuing you. Help us, Lord, and be with us, Lord. I pray, and I share, and I live all for you. And for the glory of your Son, because you're the only one that can do it. Amen. So we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.